Okay, I'm going to invite everyone to return to their spots. Revelation 19 has a very strange verse. You probably won't understand it immediately, but I'll try to unpack it for you. It says, Revelation 19, the angel is speaking to John, and he says, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Let me paraphrase that for you. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus, as in anything Jesus does in your life, the story of what Jesus has done in your life, is the spirit of prophecy, can have the effect of creating that same thing happen in the life of someone else. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Anything God does in one individual's life, when that story is shared, here's what God has done for me, like the Samaritan woman, right? Come, I met Jesus at the well. He told me everything I'd ever done is this Messiah, right? Like she goes on and the crowds come and they experience the same thing that she experienced. The testimony of Jesus, the story of what Jesus has done in an individual's life can have the same effect on the person who hears, because it gives them an opportunity to say, well, if Jesus did that for you, why wouldn't he do it for me? Right? God hasn't changed. He doesn't play favorites, right? So what I'm going to do this morning is take that and offer you a story in that spirit, along those lines. The testimony of what Jesus has done in my life is an opportunity for you, should you choose to grab hold of it. What I'd like to do is tell you a story about hunger for God. It's just my testimony. What God's been doing in my life in the last year or so. And I'm using this as a bridge between the listening prayer series that we have done and where we are going from here. So I would have described myself pre-COVID you've heard me often refer to Bruxy Cabey as he would say that people who gather information about someone without actually knowing them personally, we call them stalkers. And I said, don't be a stalker when it comes to God, right? Don't just come Sunday morning, gather information about God without actually engaging in relationship with God. And the reason I've shared that many, many times, don't be a stalker, don't be God's stalker, is because I recognize that tendency in myself. So I'm very much preaching to myself. And I was a pastor who prioritized knowledge over relationship. That's just part of the way that I defaulted. And so prayer for me was always monologue, one directional, going this way. Scripture was to be studied without real sort of engagement in that conversation. And this is what I lived off of. It tasted like stale bread. It felt like stale bread. It was the only bread I had, though. There was part of me that wanted more, but wasn't sure where to get it. So COVID hits. And so much of this story is going to overlap with Joel Cabinet's, and I let him know in advance that I was going to be telling his story, and he's like, go for it. So I already have this permission to do this. But when COVID hit, as a pastor, I started making calls to see how people were doing. And you know, some people are out of work, things are not going well, we're homeschooling our kids, we're pulling out our hair. I was always really frustrated by the empty nesters who were super bored. And we just had a baby as well as homeschooling our kids. And I think I restrained myself. I don't think I said anything I shouldn't have, but there was some very deep underlying resentment there. But nevertheless, anyway, Joel was the first person that I called who actually said, like, life's never been better. And it's not because he was making a lot of money on COVID or something like that, selling masks and all that. It was because he started telling me stories about what God was doing in his life. Things had started amping up for him, and he's getting, just sharing with me about some visions that God had given him. And I don't mean like I have a dream. I mean like visions, like from God, perceived with the eyes. And so I'm like, I don't have any experience with this. I can't relate, but I'm intrigued. And so we just started going for walks, and I'd hear more about what God was doing in his life. And before long, we're in a prayer group together. And the guys that are in our prayer group are just hungry for more of God. And I was hungry, but I didn't know where to find more. And so I was hungry for more of God, and we were all asking for more. And so what we would do as we started praying was trying to submit ourselves to our best reading of God's agenda at the moment. And so we, you know, praying the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done. Started praying, you know, you tell us to ask for the Holy Spirit. So here we are, we're asking. And what happened with that, as a result of that, was a process of purging for me. A lot of confession, a lot of calling people and apologizing. God tends to empty us before he fills us. And that was my experience. And there was a season where we started praying through not just the Lord's Prayer, but the Beatitudes. And I very much started living that. And it starts with blessed are the poor in spirit. In other words, you have to be pretty low to get blessed. As that was happening, I started realizing that I was having visions, but it wasn't with my eyeballs. There was something being presented to my mind. And I didn't know what to do with it. I wasn't even sure it was God. There's this one time where I was praying. I was just sitting up in our bedroom praying by myself, and praying with my eyes closed. And I see this picture of being in a confessional booth with Jesus. And he was not confessing to me. It was going the other direction. And as I was making my confessions, all of a sudden, like out of nowhere, it was like a fire hydrant got opened up. And from his side to my side, it was just gushing like an ocean of water in my direction. And I'm like, am I making this up? I've never experienced anything like this before. So I shelved it, didn't know what to do with it. As our group was praying for more of the Holy Spirit, what I was doing was also going back to the scriptures. That's our job. And so I want to make sure that I am always living a life that is in step with what I see in scripture here. And so I was reviewing some of those passages that talk about spiritual gifts and so on. So I was reviewing 1 Corinthians 12 to 14. Everyone knows chapter 13 is the love chapter, but that's sandwiched between two chapters about spiritual gifts. And it's very intentional why Paul does that, but that's for another day. But as we're asking for more of God, and I'm reviewing this, I was getting together this one guy to pray one time, and I said, you know what, you should be asking for the gifts too. He's like, no, we just ask for God. We don't ask for the gifts. I'm like, well, that's not what the book says. Did you read the book? 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, and I quoted it to him. It says, pursue love and strive for the spiritual gifts, especially that you might prophesy. And that phrase in various forms gets repeated four times through 1 Corinthians 14. It's in the book, buddy. We don't just ask for God. We do ask for the gifts too. So he begrudgingly started asking for the gifts. It was quite funny. One day, Joel calls me up. Can't remember when it was. He's like, have you heard of impartation? Like, nope. What is it? He quotes Romans 1 to me. Paul writes to the Romans and says, I long to see you in person that I might impart some spiritual gift to you. Okay, I'm not sure I understand that. So he quotes Paul as he says to Timothy, fan into flame the gift that is given you through the laying on of hands. So that's impartation. Like, I've never thought about these things before. Like, so you mean that we can actually like find people who have spiritual gifts and ask them to lay hands on us and pray for us? And there's a chance God might do that? Like, yeah, exactly. I'm like, well, who do we call? And we just asked around, we couldn't find anyone. It was dead ends. Meanwhile, about September hits, and so many of you know the story of what happened with Gus and Jane last year. We shared that up here. It's online. You're welcome to go back and listen to that message. I'm not going to repeat it now. The message is online. Christina very cleverly entitled it "The Holy Spirit Delivers," because it was a deliverance. I'm only mentioning that event to say that every part of that story that we shared up here was basically a foreshadowing of what would happen in the church in the next year. And you can go back and listen to it, and you will see, if you know the stories of what's happened here in the last year, you will see that it was He was foreshadowing stuff that was coming and is happening. So whether that's gifts or whether it's different ministries or forgiveness or spiritual renewal or reconciliation, I mean, all of it was part of that story. All of it happened in the next year. That story started when Jewel called me up and said, I think I just heard from God that he's going to give you deliverance ministry. I said, no, thanks. You know that story. But after what happened with Gus and Jane, I said, okay, God, I'm not sure about this, but if that's true, here's what I need. And I gave him my list. I said, I need words of knowledge. Words of knowledge is a spiritual gift in which God drops a piece of knowledge you would not otherwise know. I'm going to need tongues in order to pray effectively. I'm going to need the gift of discernment of spirits. And I'm going to need gifts of healing because I see deliverance as simply one part of healing. So that's what I need. Here's my list. Shelve that. I've told you before, as we started our listening prayer series, I told you about the story about the time I was meeting with my friend Ola, Nigerian guy, following what happened with Gus and Jing. And he said, God wants to speak to you directly, not just through Joel. And my response to him was, but I don't have that kind of ear. And he said, you can't say that. My sheep hear my voice, quote scripture to me, quote the number of scriptures. That was just one. And those are the scriptures we've gone through as we've done our Voice of God series in the last number of weeks. My sheep hear my voice. And my response to him, as I told you, was, okay, I guess I have to affirm that my sheep do hear my voice, so I should be hearing it, but therefore I must be hearing it, but I'm not recognizing it. That's what I said to him. I shared that story with you. I didn't share with you how he responded, but I am going to now. His response was, well, have you been baptized in the Spirit? You heard that at a Baptist church before. Now, as he says that to me, I close my mouth for a minute because the wheels are going on in my head. I have a fair amount of seminary, and I'm thinking internally, I'm not sure I agree with the terminology that he is using. But I do understand the question that he's asking. He is asking, have you had an experience in which God filled you? At least that was my interpretation of that at the time. So outside, I just said, no, I haven't. He's like, well, you should come to our group. And then I'm reminded of our conversation about impartation. So I called Joel and I'm like, I got us an appointment. So in a couple of weeks, we just went to have people pray for us. And I know people would, I think having heard that, if I'd heard that before, I would have been weirded out by that. But frankly, as I'm telling you this story, this is a story about hunger. Like I was just too hungry for more of God to care about being weirded out or something like that. Because I wanted more of God. I've shared with you over and over again in this last year or two. If I don't have friendship with God, I'm not sure why we're doing this. The whole point of this is friendship and connection with God. So I was too hungry to care. And I also knew that these guys knew their scriptures. It wasn't just going off with some weirdos. I knew these guys. So we went, Joel and I went. I won't share Joel's story. You can ask him. I'll just share mine. They prayed over us. I could feel warmth eventually to just sort of going up through me. It was very subtle. It was really nothing intense. They did expect that we would start praying in tongues, and it did happen, although it wasn't what I was expecting, because coming from my outsider's experience of sort of hearing about what that was, I expected more or less like God to get in the car and start driving. And that's just what would happen. It was nothing like that at all. Frankly, it was a whole lot more like being in a canoe, and God's part was just a very subtle current, and I had to paddle. The only way that I can describe that. But it's been growing since then, and I can't tell you how much of a blessing it has been in times when I don't know how to pray. So anything, it was nothing dramatic. In fact, it was so undramatic, it was disappointing. Yes. No, I'm serious. I was, and I really wrestled with disappointment because I was hungry for more of God and expected to be knocked over, hijacked, filled, and like sent out to, you know, I don't know, be Elijah or something like that. And it was nothing like that. So it was disappointing. It wasn't disappointing enough that Joel and I didn't, I should put it a different way. Joel and I did, under God's direction, baptize someone else in the Spirit a little while later. No one in our church, I don't think you know. But other than that, I didn't tell anyone. Partly because I'm still wrestling with understanding it. Partly because, God, I'm Baptist, what just happened here. So I had to go back and review our Baptist distinctives and still review them and go, yeah, I think I'm still Baptist. It doesn't touch on any of this stuff, really. Maybe one point that might need to be talked about at some point. But anyway, so yeah, I'm still Baptist. But I noticed that there were some changes over the last, over the next number of months. It was a very slow thing. Once the disappointment was over, Jesus still felt closer. As I was continuing to pursue friendship with God, he felt closer. There were dreams that would come occasionally. And I'd never paid attention to dreams before until more or less it got pointed out to me that it probably should. And what I was always expecting was never what I got, you know, sort of like tongues, was expecting the car just to be driven. I was expecting dreams or visions to be HD taking over. And it was nothing like that. It's something that it could have easily been dismissed. But I had this one dream. I'll share with you the dream, but not the sort of the application of it, because that's all I'm gonna share. So I had this dream where I'm walking towards something, can you remember what, and this moose comes charging towards me, and this was not just a moose, it was about the size of a camel. Like it was just absolutely massive. I'm not gonna die here, but instead what it does is it just brushes past me and keeps going and never see it again. And 2 days later I had a situation where essentially something that basically could have killed me just brushed past. Is gone. I haven't seen or heard since. I can't give you more details than that. It does get more specific than that. But it was sort of the first time God highlighted that, yeah, I can actually speak in these other ways to you as well. There were insights that would start to come once in a while. I don't claim to be more insightful now. I just claim that once in a while God chooses to share something like that. But regarding the situation with the moose and so on, that situation as it played out, there God started dropping down insights I wouldn't have otherwise had about it until every puzzle piece fit together. And it gave me a lot of relief and assurance and comfort for what I'd gone through. There were words sometimes, and I've shared lots of those stories about words. I'll share another one just for fun. It's not a brag. You gotta understand, this isn't a brag. What I'm trying to do is help you put a face and an experience to perhaps just things you've only heard about or read in scripture, but haven't really recognized how that touches down in people's lives. So there's this one time where I'm heading off to prayer time, and I'm just praying in advance, asking God to be there and so on. And I hear or think I hear the word razor come to mind. I'm like, that's ominous. I don't like that, Lord. No, thank you. So I show up at the group, and someone's there never met before, never seen before. And they share a story about how they tried to take their life that week, but instead of actually going through with the attempt, they'd put a message out, and some people had come and actually intervened in time. And they share the story about some other people who were at the group saying these people intervened and helped me. And they didn't share anything but a razor. I really wasn't sure. But I went over to some of the friends who've been the helpers in this situation and said, was there a razor involved in this? They're like, we don't know. Don't know. Like, well, that's what I heard on the way here. And so, you know, if that is the case, maybe God wants something done with that. I don't know. I share it for what it's worth, but I don't know the individual who shared personally. So I don't feel like I should be going up to them. So I'll just leave that with you. And they sent me a text 2 days later with a picture of the razor saying, yeah, it was. And wow. Apparently God had that on his mind enough, had that individual on his mind enough that he told someone who didn't even know it in order to sort of close the loop on that story, to reassure them in a different way. I've really got you. It wasn't just your friends who answered the Facebook message in time to come see you. Like I was involved in that. That's sort of the way I read that. Thanks for letting me be part of that, Lord. I'm not saying if any of you are struggling with suicidal thoughts, God will tell me in advance. So please get the help you need. You have my cell phone number. Don't expect God to use my cell phone number. That's only happened once. I should clarify at this point, because I've told so many listening prayer stories in the last number of months, I don't just tilt my head and then hear something. There are just lots and lots of times where I listen for long periods of time and come up completely dry. So please don't think I've somehow become someone super spiritual who like has the just guts. God, I don't have God on sort of the other end of the phone or something like that. Just taking time to learn to listen. And I still get lots of it wrong too. So many times I not only come up dry, I don't think I came up dry until I go test it. And then I find out otherwise. So I'm growing. Around January, I was a listening prayer time, and I thought I heard God say no more hiding. Because of course I hadn't told anyone. It's just Joel and I, we kept it to ourselves. We told our wives, that's about it. I don't think we really told anyone in the church. And it took me a month or two before I told council. And I felt like I had to tell council. And I told them the same way I'm telling you. It's just a story. It's not some new direction for our church. I just said, this is just an FYI. You know, you guys supervise me, oversee me. You should probably know this is just what God's been doing in my life. So let me just pause there for a moment. As most of you probably know, I'm the acting senior pastor here. That's a temporary position. It means that I have sort of day-to-day responsibilities here to make the day-to-day decisions, but I stay very far away from things that are sort of directional or affect the future of our church, because I recognize I'm in a temporary position and I don't want to mess with something that I may not be around to live with, right? That's just it's the nature of the position that I'm in. So for example, with Hope Mission, I don't generally touch that stuff, to be honest, because that's a future oriented thing and I may not be around to live with that. So I'm very careful about even where I weigh in on those discussions. So the problem, however, is that it comes into more of a tension when it comes to Sunday mornings, right? Because Sunday morning, I have the responsibility. Eugene Peterson says that the pastor's main job is to pay attention and call attention to what God is doing right now. I have to pay attention to where God is currently working. And it's my job then to call other people's attention to where God is currently working. And so I've really wrestled with that tension as I've seen certain things happen in our congregation. They're sort of like the Sigurdsson event and so on. And I share those stories without at the same time sharing the direction I think it's going, because it's not up to me. So I really wrestled with that. And the way that I've tried to find a balance is simply to call attention to the story, share, here's what God did without sharing, and here's where it's going. It's not my place to do that. So that's why we share stories. It's not to push an agenda. That's why I'm sharing my story. It's not to push an agenda. It's to focus on what God is doing. So if we have a forgiveness story or a reconciliation story, we've shared that. We've had a healing story. We've shared that. And so on, without saying, and here's where it's going. But pay attention to what God is currently doing. Pay attention. By about May or June, I went to this thing. Some friends were having a couple of pastors come from BC, their husband wife team, and they had this prayer time afterwards. We called it a prayer impartation. And as they came and prayed for me, I hadn't met them, didn't know them, other than some brief conversation before the start of it. And when they prayed over me, one of the things that they prayed, and I didn't tell them how to pray. They said, healing hands. And it was shortly after that I started seeing some healing happening in my family once in a while. Not every time I prayed, sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. But I'm seeing it more than before because I've never seen it before. And I'd asked for that gift. Around August, I noticed I started seeing some things, and sometimes they were angels and sometimes they were enemies. That was occasionally, and it was faintly, but I'd also asked for that gift. You might remember. So if you don't want to see that, don't ask. But all of this, as I said, comes from just a hunger for more of God. If you're here, if you want friendship, if you want partnership, if you want someone like here I am, I want whatever you're offering. And that's where the voice of God series really came from. It was just being born out of trying to listen more and develop deeper friendship with God. And as I was mapping out that series, one of the places I really wrestled with God was, is this a series that focuses on the still small voice, which is where we focused, or are we also going to talk about the voice of God where God speaks in other ways? Like I have been experiencing, and I know other people in our congregation have been experiencing, but I wasn't quite ready to go there. And I felt like God's response was, well, is it happening in your congregation? Like, yes. Well, draw the implications, Benjamin. But I said, yes, but, and I didn't really know how to respond other than, but. So I bracketed that stuff out. And what I did was focus on the still small voice, more or less, and told God I really needed further direction. And then a couple of weeks ago, as you know, God healed my back. And the way that he did that involved using a boy who was not hearing the still small voice of God. He was hearing the audible voice of God. And he wasn't just having impression. He was getting visions and pictures and dreams. And it was all of the stuff that wasn't the still small voice. And I had to share that story because my job is to pay attention and call attention to what God is doing right now. And so I should emphasize, first of all, Marcus isn't the only young person who is experiencing this kind of stuff. He's just the only young person who's been on the stage. Joel and I aren't the only adults who are experiencing something like that. This, and it's not just men. We're just the ones who've been up here. So just want to be clear about that. As I've shared these kinds of things with people, often what I find is that sort of this, I'm happy for you. And I think they generally sort of mean that and appreciate it. I wonder if it comes from sort of people are never going to want what they don't understand, obviously. Especially if anyone's had any sort of experience with those types of things that, and they've gotten abused or people have been hurt or something like that. And for better or for worse, what happens is the whole baby in the bathwater thing, right? And frankly, yes, I'm not only aware of those abuses and mistakes, I've made some of them. This is part of growing. But I go back to my scriptures, and 1 Corinthians 12 says the gifts God gives are for the building up of the body. And so if God actually designs a church in this way, it would be foolishness to ignore the things that he has said. These are going to build up the church. So I guess that's where just I was at that time, or I am now. Let me give you some takeaways. First of all, as you've gone through the listening prayer time, or as you've heard this today, you will miss the point if you think I'm special. Thank you for the nod. I see that. I actually do appreciate that. You will miss the point if you think that this is only for the pastor or only for the special people. And I have reminded us over and over again, James says, Elijah was a man just like us. The whole point of that is that Elijah isn't special. I'm not special. And you know what? I love my son, but he's not special. in that sort of exclusive sense of this is only for the some people and not for other people. That's my first point. My second point is, it comes right out of Acts. There's a verse in Acts 17 that talks about how Paul has gone to a group of a church called the Bereans. And the way that the author describes it is he says that the people of Berea welcomed the message eagerly and examined the scriptures to see if these things were so. Go be Bereans. Go examine the scriptures to see if the things I have shared with you are so. So does it line up with Luke 11:13, where Jesus says, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Does it line up with Joel 2 and Acts 2 that we have quoted so many times? In the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions, even on my male and female servants, young and old, high and low, status, no status, etc. I will pour out my spirit on them and they will prophesy. That's the last one, the last part of that. Go back to the scriptures. Go back to 1 Thessalonians 5 that says, our gospel does not come in word only, but in power and in the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. Go back to Ephesians 5:8. Be filled with the Spirit. It's a command. Go back to 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14 says four times in one way or another, pursue and welcome prophecy. Four times. After you've done that, you've been a good Berean, and if it stirs up something in you, ask, seek, knock. These kinds of things are for you too. If you ask, seek, knock, you don't have to. It's something God makes available to you, as in it's not just for the special people, or we are not special people. I should probably put it that way. It's for everyone. And Jesus says, everyone who asks receives. Everyone who knocks as the door opened, etc. Right? I will warn you though, my New Testament prof used to say, God does not submit himself to casual inquiry. And I didn't know what he meant by that at first. But as I chewed on it, I realized what he means is God does not listen to sort of, listen's probably not the right way to put it, but God doesn't really go for big answers for casual prayers. Lord, if you feel like doing this, ask. God, I think I want a little bit more of you. You're probably not going to get the answer, but when you ask, when you seek, when you knock, when you really, really pursue, God honors the pursuit. God honors the deep, gut-wrenching, I will not let you go until you bless me kind of prayers. And I've just seen it happen. I want to be really clear. I'm not saying at all that you have to experience what I've experienced. Not at all. And I'm not saying that you are less than if you haven't. Not at all. I'm not even saying that if you ask for certain gifts, you'll get them. I actually got the gifts I asked for in some measure, because God is just really gracious and generous. But I'm not saying that you are less than. I'm not saying I'm better than you. I'm simply sharing a story of what God has done. But I'm sharing that story, like I said, as a bridge between listening prayer and what's next. Because the church needs to be trained and equipped to understand the things that are now happening in this church. I had lunch with Terry Fossen, who's our regional minister, and Kevin Bender, so you can verify with Kevin that we had this conversation. I had lunch with him, And I was sharing with him about some of the things that I've been experiencing, some of the things I've been seeing happening in our church, whether it's prophecy or healing or words of knowledge or deliverance or just a number of those different things. I was sharing lots of stories with him, and he was so excited. Like he was honestly just really enthusiastic. And I said, Terry, I don't know what to do. Like, he's got to be moving me on. He's like, no, your job, Ben, is to normalize this. Those are his exact words. Ask Kevin. And in fact, he's told me that more than once. Your job as a pastor, when these kinds of things are happening, is to normalize it. And the only way I can do that is by sharing a story that bridges us to say, we are going to explore how to normalize this. And before you could normalize it, you have to understand it. So in the coming weeks, I'm going on vacation for 2 weeks. And if you haven't walked me out with a very generous parting gift, then in 3 weeks' time, I'm going to start teaching on the aspects of the things I have mentioned today so that you are equipped to understand what God is doing and the ways that he works where we haven't perhaps experienced them before. It's not setting a direction for the future, and I want to be really clear about that. But we have come to the point where the people here need to be equipped for the present. Do you understand that sort of distinction? This isn't one or two people in our church anymore. It's a few more than that. And it has become an ongoing reality in people's lives rather than just simply a one-off. And therefore, the church as a whole needs to be equipped for that. That's the pastor's role. Pay attention, call attention, equip the people, and so on. So we'll be normalizing it slowly. And you're welcome to ask any questions you want. Send them all to Joel. Okay? He got me all into it. You blame him anyway. Francis Chan went to John MacArthur's seminary. John MacArthur is a well-known cessationist. If you don't know that term, cessationism, you hear the word cease in it. In other words, the works of the Holy Spirit, the stuff that I've been describing to you, ceased with the apostles. That's the view that he and many others take. Francis Chan went there, bought that, taught it, but as he was writing his book on the Holy Spirit, he just kept coming away saying, I feel like there's more. I feel like I'm missing something. And that sent him on a whole journey to find out if there was more. And he was in an interview just this past summer and shared the highlights of that story of looking for more. And he came out and he mentioned that he was a charismatic. And that the interviewer immediately pauses what he's saying. He's like, you just used that word. You used it. You admitted it. We have it on tape here. Now, I can send you the interview. It's on YouTube. It's about 12 minutes long, the part I'm talking about anyway. And Chan, Francis Chan, who's at, like, the interview's at a charismatic church. And so Chan says, yes, I did use that word. I am a charismatic. And the crowd cheers because they're a charismatic church. And when they stop their cheering, he says, and I'm also an evangelical. He got less cheers for that, but I was cheering as he said that nonetheless, because I really liked the way he was able to frame it and say, I don't need to be labeled by one or the other here. And, you know, we've talked a number of times in the last year about how there's a wide road between two ditches, and one is a solely word-focused ditch, and one is solely a spirit-focused ditch. And frankly, Jesus walked that road perfectly, and my goal is to walk the road following him. So we're going to try and follow his example. I'm at least going to be helping us, anyone who want to be equipped in that area to understand it more. So we started by asking, do you want more of God? That's what our discussion group started with, right? What would that look like? We started with the verse that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. What God has done in one person's life, when you share that story, gives other people the opportunity to grab onto it and say, I trust you, Jesus. I want you to do for me something like what you've done for someone else. So if you grab onto it, he probably will. But God honors the prayer and the pursuit of him. I'll leave you with that. Let's pray. Lord, you're good. We've already said that this morning, and I praise you again. I have seen your good hand. I feel like Nehemiah. The hand and the favor of the Lord was upon me. I felt like Nehemiah too, where he had to do lots of hard things, and I didn't get to share that this morning either. But I thank you both for your good hand and that it has sustained through those hard things. I thank you for what you are doing. I thank you that you have shown yourself to be real in my life in ways that were, excuse me, perhaps simply theory, simply something, some cognitive thing, some fact I had memorized at some point. But I thank you that you've been showing yourself to be real. I thank you that the friendship is growing. I thank you that as you give gifts, it gives an opportunity to engage you at one more level of conversation, friendship, partnership. And I simply say thanks and offer it back to you. And I pray that as much of this story is helpful for any others, I offer it to you to use. And for the parts that have been unhelpful, would you leave them on the carpet here before people leave? Would you leave them on the carpet of their living room floor or their kitchen? And may what is good and right and true, noble and anything excellent and praiseworthy, would you keep our minds focused on those things? We entrust to you the present state of our church. And we know you have the future in our hands, in your hands. We look to you for that direction. And we'll steward well what you are doing. In Jesus' name, amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Blessings, everyone online. Go in peace. Thanks for being here.